Well, good early morning. You hesitated there for a moment. It is a good early morning, right?
Yes.
All right. We get to worship. That's a positive note. We get to worship. Today we talk about missions. I know it's January, but you know what? Missions is an everyday thing. And we have a couple of young ladies from our church that will be going on missions very soon, within the next few weeks. And today we have Cortland Bieber, who's going to come and just share a few moments with us about her mission trip last year to San Salvador. And she will be going back, her and Anne Marie will be going back within a few weeks on another mission trip to the same area. And listen, it sparks that desire in you to do, even in your own community, in your own area of influence, just to do more. The church has done so much in this past year in going to Texas and doing missions. Listen, I'm excited about what God is doing through our church. And Cortland's going to come share this going over, you know, over a little sea, the Gulf of Mexico, to share with the children in San Salvador. So, Cortland, come on. She had many, many stories to share and things that God were doing. And then just because of time constraints, we know that she only got to share a little bit. But to see what God is doing in other countries and to see the churches are full because the love of Christ is shared kind of makes you think about American churches, right? Where we need to keep reaching out into our own communities, because the Christ that the Christians in El Salvador and those who are lost are seeking, that Christ who they're seeking, we have. So the title of today's message is Missions. It begins in everyday life. It was said to make your life a mission, not an intermission. So every day that we go through life, we have the opportunity to share Christ, and we have the opportunity to be those people that stand up for the one who saved us. We have that glowing light within us that others can see. My question to you is, how bright is your light glowing? Do others really see Christ in you? Because you're on a mission field, and they need to see the Jesus that has saved you, changed you, transformed you. They need to see that Jesus being real. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 17. That's something as a Christians, we don't have a choice but be a missionary. We have no other choice but to be a missionary. That's what we're called to. Now, some are missionaries in their community. Some are missionaries at their school. Some are missionaries in their workplace. Some are missionaries in the state. Some are in the nation. Some go around the world. But we're all called to be missionaries. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 17. This is a story. This is the account where Jesus sends his disciples out two by two. So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him to give them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker's worth is keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay there at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone would not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it would be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogue, all on my account. Let's pray together. Father God, as we hear about missions, Lord, for so many of us it seems like a far term, and Lord, so many think it's a calling for certain people, but Father, every person that is called upon your name is a missionary. And Lord, we have a job to do. We have tasks. Father, reveal to us, Lord, how we are to be this missionary in the place that you put us or the place that you're calling us to. Teach us, God, through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are four things to remember while on mission. in your area of influence? The first thing is this, is to be intentional. The missionary has to be intentional. See, we should look for opportunities to engage people with the gospel as we encounter them in our daily activities. Does God open opportunities for you around the coffee pot at work to have a Jesus conversation? Yes, he does. Does God open opportunities at school for you to have a Jesus conversation with someone? Yes, he does. Does he have that opportunity given to you for your family? Yes, he does. We just have to be very sensitive to it. And when we're intentional in our heart to know that we want to share Jesus with people in our family, to share Jesus with people that we work with or that we go to school with, when we are intentional about it, we'll be amazed at how many opportunities we recognize. See, verse 5 and 6 is, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus called these 12 disciples, his 12 disciples around him, and he sent them out two by two. But he did not send them over to the Gentiles. He did not send them into Asia Minor. He did not send them down to Africa. You know where he sent them? Just to the house of Israel. The people that God had called and chosen where Jesus was ministering. Go there first. This is where I'm sending you. See the intentionality behind it? Because they could have easily crossed over into Samaria and ministered to the Samaritans. But Jesus, his intention was very focused about where he wanted them to be. He called them out. Christ gave them time as this time of growing that he had with them in ministering. Jesus was ministering for 3.5 years. When he called his disciples out, he did not just say, okay, boys, I've sent you out now. I'm sending you away. No, Jesus gave them some training. Jesus gave them the things that they need, all the tools that they would need to go out and minister to the people around them. Understand, when you come to worship, when you're in a small group, when you're serving in some form or fashion, you are being equipped to do the work of God when you're not at church. Didn't get an amen on that. You're being equipped out through Monday through Saturday to do the work. This is what Jesus did. Christ gave them a time of probation to see if they were loyal to him. As they proved themselves faithful, Christ prepared his disciples for ministry. He prepared them by taking them with him. He mentored them. He taught them privately and publicly. Jesus opened the scripture to them and opened their understanding of God's calling. Listen, when you come to worship, your mind is being opened to what God's word says for us to do. It's our responsibility when we leave this place to go about doing God's work. How will the world ever know if you won't tell someone? How will the world ever know about Jesus if you personally do not make it your intentional choice to tell someone? How devastating it would be for us to go before Jesus on Judgment Day and our works are being judged, and there's not one soul that we've ever told about Jesus. Not one. How devastating that we've had 40, 50, 60, 70 years on this world, in this world, and we've never told a person. We're on mission. Gospel truths were committed to these disciples before they were commissioned into the missionary field. Jesus called them, he commissioned them, and he empowered them. All who are his disciples to propagate his message. When Jesus calls you out of your sin and he saves you, listen, he begins to work in you. He begins to grow you and disciple you so you can go out and share the message, the story that he's changed your life. He doesn't just send us out without being prepared. Jesus was intentional in sending out his disciples to this particular group of people. Jesus focused on reaching the Jewish community to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus was first concerned about reaching the lost sheep of Israel. His people would be the target group for his disciples to minister to and meet the needs. Listen, if they weren't going to get it among the Jews, then they weren't going to get it out there in the rest of the world. Why? Jesus wanted the Israel to see and believe their Messiah was with them. The Jews had the Old Testament given to them by God, and Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And Israel must be first to either accept or reject their Savior. Jesus knew that this was the calling that upon his life, and he sent those 12 disciples out to go get Israel. Bring them as many will come to salvation. Go get them. Very intentional of where he was ministering. We must be intentional in our purpose and our focus when we minister in other people's lives. Listen, David Livingston said this. He said, sympathy is no excuse for action. How many times, even listen, last year, when all the flooding was going on in Houston area and western Louisiana, and I mean, this is 2 hours away from us, hour and a half if you drive fast. 2 and 3 hours away from us. And man, we felt bad about it. These are our neighbors, and we felt bad. But we didn't do anything. Sympathy is no excuse for action. Just because we feel bad about what someone else is going through, if we do not act to help relieve their suffering, to help take that as an opportunity for Christ to intervene in their life, if we do not do that, then we're not acting as the church. Some couldn't go, but many gave. Boy, many gave. In some aspect, they gave. All of it, see, that's action. That's action. That's not just feeling bad for someone else. That's action. We must move our compassion into a tangible effort of ministering to others. Our efforts are best invested with particular people in certain situations. Our intentions is to see where the Holy Spirit is working and join him there. How many efforts do people go through? And boy, they spend years investing in one place and they don't see much progress. Was the Holy Spirit even working there? Let me tell you what. When Katrina hit New Orleans, the Holy Spirit was working down there. Let me tell you, when Harvey hit Texas last year, the Holy Spirit was working there. When we got the floods here in Louisiana, the Holy Spirit was working because he helps us to see that there are opportunities right here to minister in people's lives that would never be open to the gospel without God breaking some things first. John Wesley said it this way, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places that you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. So be intentional. The second thing we see is be evangelistic. When we're on mission, we need to be evangelistic in what we do. See, our love for Jesus Christ should motivate us to seek the salvation of the persons with whom we interact. It's not just good enough to meet needs. There must be Jesus involved. Verse 7 says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus gave instructions to his disciples where to go, to proclaim the gospel to all they encountered. Their primary goal was not social ministry. Rather, their goal was to win the lost to Jesus. This most important event in a person's life is the salvation of the soul, of their soul. The most important event of any person's life is not who they marry and the birth of their children. All those things are important. The most important event in anyone's life is the salvation of their soul. And God sends you and he sends me out to go to them, to present the gospel, to give them that opportunity to claim Jesus as their Savior and be the most important event. See, poverty, illnesses, and hardships, all those things are temporary. The soul is eternal, and its destination is of utmost significance. Keith Green said it this way. He says, this generation of Christians is responsible for the generation of souls on the earth. Listen, I can't do anything about the souls who were here in World War II. And I can't do anything about the souls who will be here 75 years should Jesus tarry. But I can do something about the people who are here right now. And you can too. And it's our responsibility to reach this generation for Jesus. Here in America, El Salvador, India, Alaska, wherever God plants us, that's where he wants us to minister. We must never forget the mandate Christ gives to all his disciples in Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Our acts of kindness and expressions of Christ's love for others are motivated by our desire for them to become devoted followers of Christ. The whole reason that we do social ministry is not just to relieve the hurting of some things that they're going through, but it's that opportunity to minister to them. And you know what? Over the years, I've grown in this direction. We should be less concerned about the lost becoming a member of our particular denomination or our church. We desire for them to pursue Christ by repenting of their sin and receiving forgiveness and placing their faith in Jesus. What good does it do to have a full belly, a quenched thirst, sturdy shelter, peaceful relationships if their souls are doomed to hell? What good does it do to have all those things if they're still going to hell? There are a lot of people, we filled their bellies up. We gave them clean water to drink. We gave them better shelter than they had. We probably even put money around in their area, and they died and went to hell because we left Jesus out. We went because we were compassionate, but we've never presented Christ. Jesus is our only hope of salvation. And then invest in their discipleship. PFB said this. Breezy said this. Says, founder of the Church of the Nazarene, he says, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. We are debtors to every person in the world to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like we received it. Where were you when you received Christ as your Savior? Or have you? Maybe today is your day of salvation. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus and repented of your sin. Maybe today is that day for you. What about the person around the world who's never, ever heard the name Jesus? See, we're looking for a second coming. They still haven't heard about his first. We need to share Christ with them. So be intentional, be evangelistic. The third thing is this, that most physical and spiritual needs is that we meet those physical and spiritual needs. See, our generosity and kindness must work together to earn the right to share the gospel with others in our area of influence. The reason that we do social ministry, the reason that we reach into their lives, the reason that compassion compels us to go into their life is to do this, earn the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're doing it for any other reason, we're not doing it in Jesus' name. We're doing it out of selfish motivation, or we're doing it out of just sheer compassion for humanity. Lost people can do that. Lost people are compassionate toward others. But as Christians, if we are not earning the right in their life to share the gospel, we've missed it. Verse 8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Jesus empowered the disciples to go in Israel to meet the needs of those who were hurting when they encountered them. And by faith, people received miracles of healing, and both physical and spiritually. By meeting the needs of those who were hurting, the disciples built this relationship with them and earned the right to present Christ to them. Jesus empowered his disciples to go out to heal the hurting for the very reason that their faith may be in Jesus. Not just to make Israel a better place, a healthier place, but to earn that right for them to see that Jesus makes a difference in life. Servant evangelism through meeting needs builds this bridge across racial boundaries, social economic strata, religious and political divisions, all of that for faith to cross over and meet Jesus. For people to see that, listen, these people may not be just like me, but they love me. And this Jesus that has motivated them to come to me and help me out. I want that, Jesus. I want some of me that, some of that for me. Stephen Sorkin said this: servant evangelism wins the heart before it confronts the mind. A small act of kindness nudges a person closer to God, often in a profound way. The very reason we do social ministry is to show people that this Jesus who lives in us has motivated us by love and compassion to be there. And we know that just meeting their, just filling their belly up or just bringing them medical needs, that's a start. But Jesus wants to go all the way to their soul. Not just their belly, not just helping their illnesses. That's just an inroad to where Jesus really wants to be. Christians must remember, people do not care how much we know until they know how much we care, John Maxwell said. The reason we do the compassion is just to show them that we really do care. We care about them. We care enough about them to see their soul changed. In our daily schedules, listen, in our daily schedules, we encounter people who need a touch from Christ. We engage with them, the gospel, through earning the right of ministering them. We earn the right by meeting physical, emotional, social, financial, and spiritual needs in our life. How can we reach others through servant evangelism? We can give them food. We can give them clothing, emergency shelter, financial assistance, meals for their herd, for those who are hungry, and medicines for those who are hurting. We can repair automobiles and help with homework, give rides when they need it. The ways in which we can build bridges in the lives of others seem endless because they're hurting people all over us. There are people who are going through situations in their life, and it's an opportunity for you, Christian, for me, to step in. Too often, we don't want to get involved. That's the problem. We don't want to trouble ourselves more than we need to. Well, you know, if I start doing this for them, they're never going to stop. They're always going to be here. Take the step. Allow God to use you in a phenomenal way and see where the Holy Spirit leads. You may be the one sitting down with Scripture. So, you know, I don't know a whole lot, but I know John 3:16. I know that Jesus loves me. I know, for God so loved the world. And that person's part of the world. And they need to be saved. Can you reach out to others through servant evangelism? We can all play an instrumental part of this great commission through small acts of kindness and generosity, leading into the trust needed for others to accept Christ. David Jeremiah said it this way. He says, the only way the corporate body of Christ will fulfill the mission that Christ has given it is for individual Christians to have a vision for fulfilling that mission personally. See, sometimes we just think, well, the church is doing this. Well, who's the church? You are. I am. Every individual. And we can't just shuck it off like it's a business. No, it's every individual has a responsibility to be mission-minded, have this vision to say, how's God going to use me this week? And is God calling me to do something over here? Maybe God is calling me to go to a foreign country. Maybe God is calling me to go over to Texas. Maybe God is calling me to go over to Alaska. Maybe God is calling me to do these other things as I walk along with Him. The fourth thing we see, not only should we be intentional, be evangelistic, meet needs, we need to serve by faith. To serve by faith. So our service to others is faith in action, and it builds relationships through the love of Jesus Christ to reach their soul. Everything we do needs to be done in faith. If it's not done in faith, the Bible says it's sin. The things that we do not do in faith is sin. Our service to others is faith in action. Verse 9 and 10 says, don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals or deodorant or hairspray or you get the picture? Don't even carry a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. You see, in Israel, they were real big on hospitality. Jesus says, depend on me and where I send you, where the Holy Spirit is working. You will know that the Holy Spirit is working there when they receive you. You catch that? Why did Jesus tell them to go with empty pockets? Don't bring a money belt. Don't bring a change of clothes. Don't bring your deodorant. Don't bring your shampoo. Don't bring your hair dryer. Don't bring anything with you. You just go. And you minister in those people's lives. And when you speak to them, if the peace of God falls on them, if they receive what you say, they'll take care of you. They'll meet your need. And that's how you'll know it's being effective. But he also says, listen, there's some people going to turn you down. There are people going to slam the door in your face. He said, those people, shake the dust off your feet and keep on walking. Don't sit there and beg them to come to Jesus. And the church has done this in the wrong way. We've begged people to come to Jesus. Well, maybe we just need to go visit them one more time and knock on that door one more time. Maybe. No, they won't. The message of Jesus Christ is very plain. No one comes to salvation without the Holy Spirit leading them. And if you have to beg and beg and beg and beg, catch yourself. Don't let your compassion overrun what the Holy Spirit is doing out there. He's not dealing with them right now. He may deal with them later. Just move on. Meet him where he is at. So disciples were given this instruction not promoting the lack of planning or provision. He's not telling us don't plan and don't provide for yourself. He said they receive instruction from Christ for these reasons, that they should look to him for all their provisions needed for the task. He has given it to them. Second, the ministry was local in their area of influence. The Jewish people, disciples were the ministers in their place of faith, depending on Christ for their provision. We too must minister wherever God has put us through faith. All things must be done in faith, and God be glorified through it. It takes faith to serve others and tell of the good news, the great love that he has, the grace and salvation in Christ. You and I will wrestle with doubts and questions when we're actively pursuing others for Christ. Will we have doubts? Oh, yeah. Will we feel overwhelmed sometimes? Probably so. Ask Erica as we try to get plans to go to Texas. Sometimes it seemed overwhelming. See, Elizabeth Elliot said it this way, faith does not eliminate questions, but faith knows where to take them. Take a step of faith and minister in the lives of others, and you see what Jesus would do in their life and in yours. Francis Chan said it this way. He said, the faith means holding nothing back. It means putting every hope in God's fidelity in his promises. God always true to his promises. He's always true to his promises. Listen, if God sends you somewhere, he'll take care of your needs. He'll shelter you. He'll build that hedge around you of protection that he'll take care of the things that need to take care of. Nothing happens apart from God's will. And sometimes we scratch our head on that one. So how is this helping me? Well, you can't see it now, but it's amazing what God allow in your life to make you depend on him even more. Because so many times we get self-reliant. And verse 14 tells us, remember, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. In other words, they are not receptive to the gospel. The Holy Spirit's currently not working there. We have loved ones. We have people in our life. Boy, we want to see them saved right now. But as a missionary, we will only see God work where God is moving. We will only see great things, a harvest come out where God is moving and working in people's lives. because we could knock on doors, and boy, we could invest money, we can invest time. But let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit is not dealing with those people, it is a waste of our time to do it. Are we planting seeds? Some seeds come up to grow a harvest, and some seeds are eaten by the birds. Some seeds rot and never come up. When we work in missions every day, we must pray that the Holy Spirit leads us to people or send people our way that we can minister into their life in an effective way, that we want to see their soul saved. That's the goal. It's not just to make sure their old car runs. It's not just to make sure that their electric blanket works or they have gas. That's all fine. Those are social needs that they have. But the whole reason that we are sent there is so that person will receive Jesus as Savior. The other things are just to open those doors. Talking to Cortland yesterday, and she was just telling me different things that they were doing in El Salvador last year and some of the things that they predict they'll be doing this year. Some are social things, just earning the right to share the gospel. When we minister in people's lives, that's part of it. We do this first because we love them. We're compassionate. We're sharing the love of Christ with them. But we do this to bridge, to walk through, so they trust us. And we just share Jesus with them. A lot of people, they'll never come to our church. They may not come to our denomination. We want them to come to Jesus. As we leave out in just a few moments and close in prayer, we have some of our WMU ladies in the front and on the side. And listen, they're going to have an offering plate. If you want to help these young ladies, Cortland and Anne-Marie, go to El Salvador, would you just give as the Lord leads you to? They're stepping out on behalf of us to go there to minister. You've heard from her. What a wonderful opportunity to minister in people's lives that we may never meet unless we go with them. But this is what God has called us to do. It's to invest in people's lives. Called out just like the 12 disciples. And as we go there, open opportunities that God brings to us. Let's pray together. Father God, it kind of be overwhelming to think we're all on mission. That every day we live our lives, we're on mission in our own home with our own children. Husbands are on mission with their wives. Wives are on mission with their husbands. God, where we work, maybe we own our own business, maybe we go to a workplace. Whatever goes on in there, God, it's our mission field. Students who go to school, teachers, principals, where they go, it's their mission field. Father, I pray that you forgive us that we have taken that for granted. God, that you forgive us that we have not always considered ourselves a missionary. And that the Great Commission applies to us getting up on Monday morning at 5 and 6 o'clock to get ready for work. You're preparing us even today by your word, by your Holy Spirit, for the things we'll meet tomorrow. God, I pray for your people. God, you love your people. You've entrusted this ministry to them. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you fill each one afresh in you today to envision what you want them to do this afternoon, tomorrow, this week. Help them, God, to be on mission every day for you. In Christ's name, amen.